no, it wouldn't. They said, well, that's okay, we pay for pain pills. Literally, that's what they told him. And so they went in and polished my kneecap, did some other things, it took out some things, had to take out the torn up tissue, had to take out some other scrapings. They sanded my kneecap top and bottom, sanded all the bones off that were in there, and made them all nice, and they said smooth. I don't believe that because it doesn't feel smooth. But anyway, took care of all of that, and so I am able to get around again, and the pain is substantially reduced. But since they weren't going to do that, my wife said, well, why don't we just go ahead and have your eyes taken care of? Because I had gone, I had a slight retinal bleed from the wreck, and they said, my retinologist said, you know, said your eyes, the bleed is fine. Said it only lasted a day or two, said no major damage. But he said, man, you got bad cataracts. Said, we need to get those out of there. And so they took the left one out, and I'm going to tell you, it's a whole new world. I can see colors like I didn't see them before, and I now have a distance vision of 20/20. I'll need reading glasses probably the rest of my life, but that's okay. Tuesday, we're going to leave here Monday when we get home, and then Tuesday morning at 7:15, they're going to do this eye. And I can't wait. When I went back for my follow-up visit, the doctor said, well, said, do you see any improvement? Do you want to go ahead with the other one? I said, I'm available right now. Can we drive over to the surgery center? He laughed. He said, that was the answer I was hoping for. But we're excited about that. I'm excited because right now they can't find anything else wrong with me. And I'm hoping it stays that way. I'm getting tired of supporting the American Medical Association. Well, again, Merry Christmas, folks. It's the Christmas season. It's the real Christmas season. Not the one we have in July, August, September, October, November, but this is the Christmas season following Thanksgiving, the forgotten holiday. Well, I understand, but we're going to deal with Christmas first. See, we're not jumping ahead of holidays. You got to get past the 25th, then we start dealing with New Year's. Amen? All right. But, you know, the world today tells us that the Christmas season is supposed to be celebrated in some unique and varying ways. First of all, the reasons that are listed by the world as having Christmas, and this came from a news source, so I'm sure it must be accurate and 100% truthful. It says, without Christmas, the candied fruit market would collapse. Without Christmas, our slow, uneventful lives would have no stress in them whatsoever. I don't know where they live, but that's, you know. Without Christmas, barking dogs would not have a musical career. Without Christmas, Santa would only be a weird fat guy with poor fashion sense. Without Christmas, there'd be no Christmas bonuses. Well, that one didn't hit either. Without Christmas, you'd have to waste money on buying all your own undergarments and socks. Without Christmas, your cat would never know the joy of coughing up tinsel. Without Christmas, December would feel a lot like February. Without Christmas, eggnog becomes just a disgusting beverage. So, Merry Christmas. We have a lot of discussion about Christmas in our churches, and people get upset about different things at Christmas, and there's always some group that's trying to promote something for us to boycott, ban, or ignore at Christmas. Starbucks is always a good target for it. One year they had reindeer and sleighs and Christmas trees and ornaments on their cups, and everybody protested it because it wasn't religious enough. The next year they took them all off, and they said they are just ignoring Christmas and trying to do away with Christmas by ignoring it. And I liked what one preacher said, leading independent Baptist preacher said. He said, yes. He said, I'm so upset that they took off all those biblical symbols. The reindeer, the Christmas tree, and the ornaments. This year, they put just about every symbol you can find on the cup. And I've had people saying, well, they're just trying to include everything, and there's the movement to boycott Starbucks yet again. Well, you can look at anything, and everybody wants to boycott something about something. The truth of the matter is, there's even a group out there that teach and preach that Jesus wasn't born on December the 25th. He probably wasn't. and therefore we should not celebrate Christmas at all. I know one leading fundamental preacher, Baptist preacher, y'all would all know his name if I called it out. He used to teach in his church that it's not my birthday, so don't bring me Christmas gifts. May I say I don't hold to his philosophy? And if you're intent on sending him one, just send it to me. I'll handle it for you. He would allow in his church on the Christmas Sunday, he would allow one Christmas carol, and that was all for the whole year. They didn't decorate. They didn't do anything. Now, you may say, well, if Jesus really wasn't born on December 25th, isn't that what we should do? No. I don't think so. And I want to tell you my philosophy. I don't care. I don't care if Jesus was born on December 25th. What I care about is that we have one day a year where we honor the birth of the Son of God. But I want it to be honoring the birth of Jesus Christ. Our reason for having Christmas that should be added to this list that I read to you is that without Christmas, there would be no Easter. Now, I'm not talking about Easter eggs, chocolate bunnies, or the male rabbit that lays colored chocolate eggs and cackles when he does it. I mean, I'm not talking about that kind of Easter. What I'm talking about is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You see, without the baby in the manger, there would be no empty tomb next to Golgotha. When we were in Israel a few years ago, we had the privilege of walking down the Via Dolorosa, out the Damascus Gate, a little ways outside the city, to the place of the skull, which is known as Golgotha. You can still see it today. We went to Gordon's tomb, which is believed to be the true burial place of Jesus. And when you walk into that tomb, everybody gets a hush. It's just they don't tell you to. It's just a natural reaction. But when you turn to walk out of the tomb, they have a sign above the door that says, "Why you seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, for he has risen as he said." Everybody gives a shout. You get a feeling and a sensation knowing that this is where Jesus lay. This is where he took up his life once again and purchased our salvation. You can go out, walk outside the entrance to the tomb and look over at Calvary. Now, folks, it all started in a manger in Bethlehem. My thing about Christmas, my philosophy about Christmas, my ideals about Christmas is enjoy it. But make sure your main focus is on the babe in the manger that grew up and went to the cross of Calvary. That's why we celebrate Christmas. That's why we enjoy Christmas. Oh, I enjoy getting and giving presents. I enjoy having the family over. I enjoy all the stuff. This year, I'm enjoying it even more because I can actually see the colors. 3 years ago, my wife bought a pre-lit Christmas tree. I was mad at her. Now, I like a white Christmas tree. If you don't, you can apologize later. But I like a white Christmas tree. And I like a pre-lit tree because you don't have to string the lights. But I was mad at her because she bought one that had pink lights and pastel blue lights on it. And pastel green. I mean, I was upset. And she said, "Oh, they're really red and blue and green." Whatever you say. Well, she and the grandkids always, before we go to Kansas to celebrate Thanksgiving, they always put up the Christmas tree and decorate it. That's just one of their big things they like to do. Well, they did that. I came home from my cataract surgery, walked in the door the day after when they took the bandage off and I could see out that eye, and lo and behold, she had changed every light on that tree. We now had a red, a vivid blue, and a vivid green light. She worked hard to change those while I was under the influence of medication. I know she did because for 3 years they've been pink, pastel, blue, and pastel green. I'm looking forward to Christmas this year because I can see colors. It's scaring me because I can see some of y'all for the first time while you're sitting in the congregation. I just thought you had frowns on your faces. Merciful heavens, your face is going to break if you walk outside. Be careful. Folks, we need to celebrate Christmas with an awe and a wonder that comes from knowing that one day the babe in the manger went to Calvary, died, was buried, and that's important, and rose again. When we flew home from Israel that year, we sat next to the chief forensic. I sat next to the chief forensic pathologist of the Israeli Defense Force. Melinda had a sinus infection. Every time she groaned, we popped another pill in her mouth. She enjoyed the entire 16 hours. She slept through it all. But he and I were talking, and I was asking him some questions. He was originally from Cincinnati, Ohio, and had migrated to Israel. He was a cardiologist. Had joined the Israeli army, was now a 3-star general, and was the chief forensic pathologist. His team was the ones that went into the, those of you that are old enough to remember, when the Palestinians were blowing up the Pizza Huts. And he said, they put us on a year's leave because of one particular one when they blew it up. It was 2 classes of kindergarten students. And he said, we had to take all of those baby parts and try to piece them together. And he said, our team did it. But he said, after that, we couldn't. We had to take a year off. And so we were talking about various and sundry things. And I said, well, General, let me ask you. I've always heard that there was testing done inside of Gordon's tomb. He said, oh, yes, that's true. He said, it wasn't my team, but he said, yes, one of our groups did. He said, we took microscopic drillings from every surface inside that tomb. I said, what did you find? He said, we found an unusual thing because in Israel, every square inch of space is valuable. They grow mustard in the highway medians that they harvest and eat. I mean, they don't waste anything. But yet here's a tomb, large cave, just empty. When it was discovered, it was just empty. And he said, we discovered that there had been no decomposition from any species of creature inside that cave. He said, it's very rare. Almost unheard of. I looked at him and grinned, and he said, now, Reverend, that's not saying that there was a resurrection. I said, oh, I don't need you to tell me that there was or wasn't. I know there was. That's just a validation of my faith. I said, would you like to tell me why no animal has ever crawled in there and died and then decomposed? He said, yeah, sure. I said, because Jesus said, I lay down my life, and then I pick it back up. And I said, when Jesus picked his life back up, ultimate life came into that tomb. And death fled from it. And there's such a radiance still there that death cannot enter into it. Nor will it ever demar the fact of my Savior's resurrection when He took up His life once again. He said, interesting. I will investigate. Folks, had it not been for the baby in the manger, there would have never been that glorious event just a little ways from it. The place of the skull, the tomb just off to the side, where my salvation was purchased full, whole, and complete by the Son of God. Now, if that don't make a Baptist at least grunt, there's something wrong with it. I've given up on shouting, but at least grunt. But that's not the message for this morning. That was all free. Everybody got worried again. Well, I tell you, this 2020 vision just isn't working out for me. I can see on that. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2, we're just going to take a few of the verses. But in actuality, you need to read through verse 12 for the full story. But this is the story of the wise men, the magi, coming to Jesus. In verse 1 of chapter 2, it says, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. And when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophets, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor, and he shall rule my people Israel. Now we're going to leave off reading there, but I encourage you to go home today and finish reading the story of the wise men as they came to Herod searching Jesus. The wise men came because they were in awe of a wonderful event that was taking place, and they wanted to be there. Now there's debate as to when the wise men actually arrived. I believe it was after the birth of Christ. But the world today will always put up their nativity and have the wise men there at the birth. And you've got to address that. You've got to, if you're talking about the wise men, you have to put it on a level that they understand and explain to them why would they have come either at the exact time of the birth or even later to look for the Lord Jesus Christ. They came because they were awestruck. There was a purpose in their coming. Their purpose was to see the Savior that was to be born. To see someone who was born, and as they studied the prophecies, and if you go back and research the wise men, you'll find that they were those that studied all of the religions. They studied all of the sacred writings. They were supposedly the elite in Babylon. They were the wisest of the wise. And when they read this, they said, This is true. We must go see. And they took out on a very harrowing journey, a very long, uncomfortable journey. It's not like what I've had this past week. We drove from the Colony, Texas, to Wichita, Kansas. And from Wichita, Kansas, we drove out here. And from here, we're going to drive back to the Colony. It'll be over 1,600 miles. And I did it in air-conditioned splendor. All those bugs that I killed on the way, not a one of them got through my windshield and got to me. All of the burning of the fields that we went through, we just put it on recycle and breathed nice air as we drove through. The worst event we had was when we got out in Hereford to get coffee. Let me tell you, that town's misnamed. Fella got out of his truck and went, the smell of money. I went, the smell of something. We hurriedly took care of what we needed to and got back in the car and left, coming on out here. But you know, the wise men didn't get to travel like that. They didn't have convenience stores on the way. They didn't have convenient pit stops where they could stop and get coffee. They didn't have pit stops where they could stop and go to the restroom. They didn't have restaurants they could stop at and eat. They took a harrowing journey, a long, hard journey, because something wonderful was taking place and they wanted to be a part of it. And as they read the prophecy, suddenly they saw His star. By the way, that star still guides people to Jesus if we can get their eyes off of the material things of the world and place them back on the baby of the manger. By the way, it still guides us if we'll get our eyes off of all of the sales and all of the secular things and put them back on the babe in the manger. They came with a purpose. They came because of the prophecy. They came because they knew that if they found Him, they found the greatest treasure of all. So how do you know that they came for that? Because as they came to Him, they brought Him the greatest treasures of their day. Well, if you're looking for money, do you bring all of your wealth to give away? No. You come to find the greater treasure. And folks, that greater treasure is Jesus. All the toys that can be bought, all the electronics that can be obtained, all of the jewelry that can be gathered up and given to you pales in comparison to the babe in the manger. For here was the gift of Almighty God, the Creator of the universe, to a people that didn't deserve it. You've ever gotten something you didn't deserve? Have you ever given something to somebody that said, I deserve better? Most of the time, we humans will say, we deserve better. No one deserved that great gift, the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, as was mentioned in many of the modern perverted translations, they'll say rooms instead of mansions. They'll also say a young woman instead of a virgin. when they talk about Mary. But Mary was a virgin who gave birth to the Son of God, who was the greatest gift of all. The wise men came that they might wonder at this great gift. How many of us have, during our Christmas celebrations and all the activities, and Melinda and I were talking on the way, on the drive over here, we got so much to do in the holiday season. Anybody here got a little extra time? I got about 15,000 things I can assign you. Anybody here got lots of plenty of time? You know, it's hurried. This season is hurried. And I believe the world does that specifically to stop us from pausing to wonder about the birth of our Savior. The wise men came that they might wonder at the birth of the Son of God. And you and I today need to be very, very mindful as we go through this holiday season that we don't forget to stop and to wonder about the Lord. The songwriter has said, and you'll forgive me for not trusting my memory, but I've found out it's not very trustworthy anymore. The songwriter has written this song, "The Wonder of Wonders." As she looked down and smiled, He was her maker as well as her child. He created the womb that had given Him birth. He was God incarnate come down to earth. The wonder of wonders, oh how could it be, that God became flesh and was given for me. The Almighty came down and walked among men. The wonder of wonders, He died for my sin. The wonder of wonders, as she heard a small cry, that His voice had thundered on Mount Sinai. His small hand she held so tenderly had made a dry path through the mighty Red Sea. The wonder of wonders, the Lord Jesus Christ. We celebrate Christmas because without the birth of Jesus, there's no Easter. Without the birth of Jesus, there is no salvation for us. We can obtain it simply by receiving it. He purchased it, and it's ready for us to have if we'll just take it. I had a roommate in Bible college that hated to write notes. He really did. He had bad penmanship. He just didn't like it. He just hated. And his great aunt gave him, for high school graduation, a package of 25 thank you notes. And she said, "The first one you write to us, your uncle and I." Well, our second year in college, we roomed together all through college. Our second year, I was writing some thank you notes and I ran out. And I said, "Dave, it's a long shot, but would you happen to have any thank you notes?" And he goes, "Yeah, I got that package my aunt gave me. I leave them in the cabinet up here." So he opened them up to give me the first one and he handed it to me. I opened it up and I said, "Wow, Dave, I appreciate this. I didn't know you loved me this much." He said, "What do you mean?" "There was a check for $500. But it had a disclaimer on it. It said, void after 100 days. It had been over 2 years. And there was another note inside the thank you note that said, "Dave, I told you, learn to say thank you." He lost. Never did find out if she replaced that check or not. But he lost it because he didn't want to say thank you. This holiday season, this Christmas season, don't be found guilty of not saying thank you. Thank you to Almighty God, for when the fullness of time came, He sent forth His Son to be born of a virgin. Don't forget to say thank you to the Lord Jesus Christ for being willing to leave the throne room of heaven to come and live among us. And don't forget to say thank you for going to Calvary to die for my sins. We have a gift offered to us if we receive it. I trust everybody here today has. You've received the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If not, today's the day of salvation. Now, what Christmas season, when we celebrate His birth, what better time to receive His gift of salvation that He purchased for you at Easter on Calvary? If you're here today, I encourage you, come and receive the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you are saved, and I trust you are, let's don't get so wrapped up in the things of the world that we forget the things of God. If we forget the true reason for celebrating Christmas, that's the birth of Jesus. Was He born on December 25th? I don't know. I'm going to celebrate His birth on December the 25th. I'm going to remember what He did for me on December the 25th, and therefore honor Him. You know, that's better than most of us get on our birthday. So let's make it a point this season. Keep Jesus as the true reason for the season. And don't be shy about it. I've already started saying Merry Christmas to people as we go through the chat, and they look at me so weird. That's okay, I'm used to it. It's just now I can see them. Celebrate Jesus this holiday season. Be back tonight, we're going to talk about the symbols of Christmas and how the secular symbols of Christmas, without even knowing it, point us to Jesus and what we need to be teaching our children to see the glory of God. As we go about the holiday season, the world is glorifying Him and they don't even realize it. I love it. You be here tonight, we're going to talk about that. But right now, we need to honor our Savior. The babe in the manger. We toured the Church of the Nativity. There are 12 different religions, 12 different denominations that have control of the Church of the Nativity. It looks like a flea market inside of it. I mean, they have decorations from every group. Every group tries to out-decorate the other and putting things up, and it's horrible. But they have a very ornate pulpit in the front. And the group I went with had a lot of preachers in it, and we all wanted to get into the pulpit at the Church of the Nativity and read the Christmas song. Christmas hymns. We wanted to read Matthew. We wanted to read Luke, and they said, "Oh no, you can't do that. Can't do that. It might offend someone." Oh, wait a minute. We're in the Church of the Nativity. You say Jesus was born in the, you know, in the cave down below us, and we can't read from the Bible about His birth? Well, we had several of the guys were very upset about it, and I said, "Oh well, sometimes it's just easier to ask forgiveness." And so I started up there. I got right to the pulpit. And this very nice gentleman stopped me and he said, "Sir, you can't do that." And I said, "I'm just going to read from the Bible, no comments." He said, "Oh, you can't. We don't allow that." I said, "You don't allow us to read the record of His birth?" "No. No, no. We don't want to offend anybody." I said, "Sir, you do realize that Jesus Christ does offend the lost. But to us who are saved, this is power. This is honor." I said, "Can I share a few verses just with you? We won't even be in the pulpit." He said, "Well, what do you mean?" I said, "Well, let me show you a few things." And I took him through the Romans Road. Tried to get him to accept Christ. And he said, "Oh, I can't do that." He said, "I'd lose my job." How horrible then in the place that advertises, that presents itself as being where Jesus was born, you're not allowed to open His holy word and share the story. But too often in our lives, in our families, we get to that point where when it comes to Christmas, it's all about the gifts, it's all about the celebrations, it's all about the eating, but it's nothing about Jesus. Make sure this holiday season, Jesus stays the center. And if you've never been saved, let Him become the focal point of your life today by receiving Him. If you're saved, put Him once again into the center of your life, that He may be the reason for all that we say, we do, and we accomplish. To Him will be the honor and the glory. Let's stand together with heads bowed and eyes closed. I'm going to shock y'all and let you out early this morning. I'm making up for Sunday school. I went a little bit in overtime. But folks, the wise men were willing to suffer and endure their journey just to come and wonder and marvel at the birth of the Savior. I don't know if they knew for certain that He was going to be the Savior, that He was going to one day give His life on Calvary or not. But they knew He was the Son of God and they came to Him. Today I encourage you, come back to the Savior. If you're saved and you've wandered away from Him, come back to Him. If you're here and you're not saved, then you need to come to Him as the wise men did. Marvel at all that He's done for us and receive the gift He purchased for you on Calvary's cross. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for the blessings You've given to us. Father, we thank You for the true reason for this holiday season. And Father, as we engage in all the other activities, may we pause and marvel the gift You have given to us. And Father, may we pause and share that gift with others during this holiday season. So many become depressed, so many become discouraged because they can't keep up with what the world says the way to celebrate. May we help them see that it's coming to Jesus, marveling at what He's done for us. It's the true fulfillment, the true joy we have at Christmas. Father, bless us now. If there's one here today that's not saved, may they come and receive You before it's everlastingly too late. Father, for those who may have gotten away from You, may have gotten wrapped up in all that the world offers, may they come back to You today and make You the center of the Christmas season and of their life all year long. As soon as we do ask in Jesus' precious name, amen. If you need to come, step out now. Amen. I appreciate all the survivors of Black Friday being here today.